The scripture today is found in Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
I was bragging on Logan this week, just telling him how cool he was. People in Minneapolis know you're cool. I just want a quick announcement before we begin this morning. You know that there is an annual meeting, and all of you go, wow. No, I know that. But we also have a potluck, and so I want you to stick around. And the reason I'm announcing this is that there are no tables set upstairs. And so if we could, after church, do the many hands make light work thing and get everybody up there, and if we couldn't set that up quickly, that will be taken care of. And the quicker you set it up, the quicker you can eat. So can I get some help upstairs? All God's people said? Amen. All right. For those who said amen, God knows. All right, let's pray. Lord Almighty, I thank you so much that you are with us, that your word is alive and powerful. This is a text that has been used repeatedly throughout this past month. It was preached on already once. It was Wednesday night Bible study. It's here again this morning. Apparently, this is a text you want us to know. Father, may we have it seared on our memories, implanted on our hearts, and may we obey in Jesus' name. We pray this because you are here and you are powerful, and we love you. In Jesus we pray, amen. Ron has preached for me twice, and Ron has sung for you. And I feel like I need to kind of do that too. So this morning, I am going to sing for you. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one fine man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I just sang for you the national cultural anthem of our area. It's the unofficial anthem of our culture. All you have to do to believe that is look around. Take a look at Facebook, for those of you who are on there. Take a look at Twitter. Take a look at Pinterest or Tumblr or look at any other number of sites. Watch athletes who do something in the athletic endeavor, like catch a pass, and they all of a sudden stand up as if they have cured cancer. Can you imagine if you're at work, all of a sudden you took a report, and then all of a sudden you would, whoo! What'd you do? I just turned in my budget. Yeah! What'd you do? Send an email. These people are paid to catch things. They are paid to put balls into holes and nets. They are paid to do things. And when they do it, they act like all of a sudden they have just done a remarkable thing. There's a new thing called a selfie. Now, most of you, I can't imagine doing a selfie. I just can't see, you know, the idea of watching, you know, Bob Olson take a selfie is, you know, I mean, the selfie is a picture that you take of yourself so everyone else can appreciate how awesome you are. A selfie is something that you take a picture of yourself, and then you put it as far often as you want. I have a friend of mine, Patrick. I love Patrick. Patrick's an awesome kid. I knew him back in Illinois. He's now down in Georgia. He was taking so many selfies that I wrote on his Facebook, and I said, Patrick, the camera does go the other direction. Let me tell you something about this. The new God of this age is seen every morning in the mirror. We have become gods in our own mind. Have you noticed how people talk? It's amazing how many people say when they're talking about a friend or a group of friends, me and, they come first. And if you walk up to them and said, no, it's Steve and I, or Alan and I, or Lisa and I. No, it's me and Lisa. No, I'm sorry. No, it's not. Priorities have shifted, and they all center on ourselves. I remember thinking that we need what's called a Copernican revolution. We were taught that we are not the center of the universe. We need that lesson again. We love to be noticed. We love to be photographed. We love to be appreciated. We love to have attention. We want followers. This is the soup we live in, which is why being a Christian is so countercultural, which is why being a Christian is so incredibly difficult. One of the results of following Jesus is humility. It's a byproduct and an expectation of every believer. The Bible repeatedly calls for humility. It says that we are to be humble and to reject pride. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 22:4, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches, honor, and life. Remember how Jesus spoke? You want to be first, you have to be. You want to be great, you have to be. If you want to be master, you have to be servant. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves in Matthew 23 will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He told a story in Luke chapter 14 when he noticed how the guests were picking the places of honor at the table. He told them this parable. When someone invites you to the wedding feast, don't take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host will tell you and say, give the seat to this person, and then humility, you'll have to go take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place. So that when the host comes, he will say, friend, come, let me give you a better spot. And then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We ought to have that somewhere on a fridge, or in our car, or on our computer screen. For those who are exalted will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be exalted. We live in a kingdom of God that turns the world's values upside down. Humility is essential if we are going to get people to listen to the kingdom of God. I just told you, I want to tell you again because I think it's important. Those outside the faith are only concerned about what we believe and how we behave. What we believe and how we behave. And humility shows them that we are real. Humility is something that God can expect from us because he has made it easy. You're thinking, really? Yeah. He's made it easy. Paul points that out in our passage. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, you and I are to live in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. You and I are to live in a way that is worthy of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we take the things that have been given to us. And Paul says, if you have, and he knows that they have already received these things, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, which one of you isn't ever stunned by the fact that Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross, and after being raised from the dead, said, I choose you. I love you. That just blows my mind. I have encouragement. I have that. I have comfort. I have fellowship. I have tenderness and compassion. All of these I have received because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm encouraged knowing that I am loved. It's an incredible thing to know that you are loved. Nosipo, yeah, you're going to get tired of hearing this, but you're not yet, so I'm going to take advantage. Yeah, you know, she lived it from 2 months old on in an orphanage where tenderness and compassion were not the order of the day, where you have a lot of strict rules, a lot of discipline, a lot of order, not a lot of tenderness. So she is just lapping that up. She loves being on Jessa and Eric's lap. She loves receiving and giving hugs. She loves that. But she also takes a while to kind of get used to you because it's an odd experience for her. But once she warms up, she loves everything. To be loved is an incredible gift. To know that you are loved is an encouragement. It gives us strength. It boosts us. You and I have been gifted by Jesus Christ. Does that ever buoy your spirits? Are you ever encouraged by the fact that you were saved and forgiven by Jesus? We have the kind, compassionate, loving attention of the supreme being of the universe. God pays attention to you. There are 7 billion people on the planet, yet he knows every thought in your head. He remembers every concern. He is in your presence all the time. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. Imagine that. The God of the universe is concerned about your welfare. I think that's amazing. I'm encouraged by that. And we are surrounded every day by people who are not encouraged. We are surrounded by people who are discouraged, who are downtrodden, who are just fed up. Do you have any comfort from his love? Is there anyone in this place that has the companionship, the relationship of Jesus that gives them comfort, that allows them to feel as if they have hope? We are loved. We are filled with love. We are overflowing with love. God, the limitless one, has given to us his undiluted, absolute, sacrificial love. Does that do anything for anybody in the house? If you have any fellowship in the Spirit, any kind of being knit together, any kind of relationship, any kind of incredible idea that you are not forgotten, you are not abandoned, you are not rejected, you have relationship with God because the Holy Spirit is within you. I don't know about you, but that is enough for me to stand up and say, praise Jesus. Do you have any tenderness and compassion? Do you have any deep affections? And Paul says, of course you do. Of course you do. We live in a world that does not have compassion. We live in a world that does not have tenderness. I don't know about you, but I the idea that a man can say that a God that he serves wants him to steal 300 girls and sell them as slaves, I find that to be a world that it sickens me. By the way, did you know that 200 boys were set on fire in that same country by this same group months and months ago? We never heard a word about that, but 200 boys were burned to death. We live in a world that is fractured, harsh, unbending, and we have compassion and tenderness that we can share with them. We've received this. So if you've experienced these in any amount, if you've got them in your relationship with Jesus, here is what you need to do. Make my joy complete. Get my heart excited by being like-minded. By the way, that doesn't mean we all have to think alike. We can have different opinions. We can have all kinds of different things. Yeah, it was interesting. My wife says she was excited because she found this place called Hancock Fabric. And she said, I want to go there. And I said, great. Will you come in with me? I said, no. And she said, why not? I said, really? I figure this. I'm more than willing to give her money or do whatever. I'll take her there. But if she's able to go in on 2 feet, I don't see why I have to go into a fabric store. Does anybody else kind of feel what I'm feeling? We don't all have to like the same things. We don't all have to have that. Opinions are important, but you and I are like-minded in the fact that we all belong to Jesus. We all have the same orientation. We all have the same fundamental goal. We are like-minded in what we are doing. We have the same love. We have the same devotion. We have the love that God has given to us. I am filled to the brim with sacrificial love that I can share with those people around me. I've discovered the more I am loved by God, the less I have to be first in line. The more I am loved by Jesus, the less I have to have my way. The more I am loved by Jesus, the less I need to have things fall in a manner that I approve of. The more I am willing to let go of. I want to be the servant of all. Remember what Jesus said? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be the servant of all and to be the ransom for many. I am bound in one spirit, one mind, to have a singular passion, to be in harmony. One of the things that just blows my mind is why a church would split. What is it? What could cause a church split? I know churches in the covenant that have split over which dishes they are going to use. Color of carpeting, style of worship. If you are part of the body of Christ, a church family that splits, you don't get over that. Not for years, not for decades. You don't get over that. We are to be of one mind, one heart, one spirit. And we are to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. We know about that. Selfishness has no place in the kingdom of God. Jesus was the most selfless person in history, and he calls us to be the same. I ask you to read through 2 Corinthians sometime. We're studying it now on Wednesday nights. Read through 2 Corinthians, and you're going to see what a selfless servant of God looks like. This, what Paul went through in order that other people would know Jesus, is incredible. And he did it gladly. Take any conflict, whether it's over music, program, ministries, whatever. You add strong personalities into the mix, and suddenly whatever might have been for the glory of God becomes a competition of conceit. I know better. It's going to be my way. And that's not what we're called to be. We live in a time when vain conceit is the norm and the expectation. But Paul says, not you, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. In other words, love someone and let it look like this. If you want to love somebody, here's what you want to do. You want to take the focus off yourself and put it on them. That's what humility is. It's taking the focus off of yourself and putting it on them. It is letting them know that they are important. It's letting them know that they are you have their attention. There was a guy by the name of Tim Eck. I don't know if you ever met him. Tim Eck is a delightful person. He was serving Prairie Village Covenant Church. This is a huge church. I mean, they worshiped like 1,500 people back when I was first in ministry. And I came down from Harcourt, Iowa. It was my first church. Harcourt, Iowa is smaller than West Bay. Our annual budget was $27,000 a year. We got a group of kids together. We drove down to Kansas City. We stayed in Prairie Village where Tim was the pastor. And Tim came in and he said, hey, you know, you want to talk a little bit? I'd love to get to know you a little bit. I was with Tim. Tim has held national office. He is someone who at that time was very important in the denomination. But the thing I walked away from was this. When Tim talked to me, I was the only one in the room. I had his complete and undivided attention. He wasn't searching for someone more important. He wasn't searching for anything else. I was the one he was talking to. I walked away and I said, that's how I want to be. Am I successful? Nope, not all the time. Try. But that's humility. You put the attention on the other person. You give them the time and the focus. And you let them know that they are important and valued. Jesus didn't look past anyone. Jesus didn't blow off anyone. Jesus looked them in the eye and he was there with them. He was humble. And he let his own interests go. Don't look after your own interests. Don't go seek after them. Again, we're talking about swimming against the cultural tide. Our interests are not to be the ruling priority. Isn't it fascinating how we somehow think that what we want ought to be the universal value? My way, my interests, my tastes are not the interest. Think about the fuss that we have had in the church, not this church, but the church at all about music. Think about the fusses that we have had concerning music. My feeling is, you like hymns? Awesome, let's sing some. You like praise music? Awesome, let's sing some. You like country? Awesome, let's sing some. You like polka? Awesome. Let's sing some. You know, classical, great. I don't know how you sing to that, but, you know, if your thing is Italian opera, you're going to sing it for us. You know, whatever. My point is this. Let's give it a try. Let's pay attention to one another's interests. And it really isn't that hard to do. You know, there are 10,080 minutes in every week. And the average church sings, what, I don't know, 20 minutes? You imagine, that's 0.2%. 0.2%, and we're going to get our noses all ratcheted out over that? Really? That's how we love one another? Let's not look to our own interests, but to the interests of others. Let's care about them. Let's champion the interests of others. Let's keep our eyes on their interests. Let's let those interests become our support and our focus. Let's love one another as Jesus has loved us, because if we do that, then all people will know that we are the disciples of Christ. You see, Paul wants to get this point across that you and I, in humility, our love is putting the focus on someone else. He tells Colossians, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, I want you to wear compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience as if they were garments. He tells the Ephesians, as a prisoner of the Lord, I want you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Therefore, be completely humble. And by that, I don't mean pushing yourself down. I mean focus and lift other people up. Make them the attention, not you yourself. Be gentle, patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Peter gets into the act and he says, in the same way you are younger, submit to yourselves, to the elders, all of you, clothe yourself in humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and gives favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up into due time. 1 Peter 5:6. Right, Dwayne? And James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let me tell you something. Every person in this room is a precious gift of God. You are all precious in the sight of Jesus Christ. Everyone here has the loving, unending, absolute, continual attention of God. You have the compassion, the tenderness, and the fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Let's share those gifts. Let us focus on those around us. We have enough attention. Let's give it to those who need it. We have all the encouragement we could ever need. Let's give it to those who have none. And let's do something completely unexpected. Let us serve the person next to us. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen.